chapter number 2. Jonah chapter number 2. I want to ask you a question while you're finding your place there. When someone dies, when someone leaves this world, where do they go? Now just think about this in your mind. Okay, when someone leaves this world, when they die, where do they go? Well, you say, well, now, preacher, that depends on if they're a believer or an unbeliever. Well, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. If you're saved, if you're a believer, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But did you know that it has not always been that way? When Jesus was addressing the thief on the cross that said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say that today thou shalt be with me, not in heaven. He said, in paradise. Where's the paradise of God? Where was it then? Where is it now? When people in the Old Testament died, where did they go? Where did people in the... I want you just to think about these things. Before Jesus died on the cross and finished the work of redemption, before he cried out, it is finished, and before he, with his own blood, put away sin. Sin before the blood of Jesus could only be atoned. It could only be covered. It was kind of, it was pardoned, but it was not put away. Where did the Old Testament believers go? Where do those that died in their sin in the Old Testament go? Where do those that die in their sin now go? These are very important questions that stand to be answered. The Bible has the answer. I don't think any of us would doubt life. I don't think there's anyone here that would doubt life. And really, any reasonable person that would think things through would not doubt that life is a gift from God. It's not some chance, or it's not some collision of asteroids, or some movement of electricity, or some evolution of an animal. It's a gift from God. Life. Death is a result of sin. I just don't think it takes a whole lot to really come to those conclusions when you think things through. But then what? Then what? Where are you going when you leave here? You say, well, I'm not going to think about it. Well, you better, because you're leaving here. One way or the other, sooner or later, we're all leaving here. Where are you going? What happens when a person dies? I want to talk to you about that. Now, I asked you last week to come this week with some biblical reasons that Jonah lived in the belly of the fish. I'm not going to talk about that a whole lot. If you have a reason, I'd certainly be interested in knowing if you have a biblical reason. I'm interested in that because I continue to study and I can't find one. But I don't want to really get hung up on that. But you say, I have one. Well, good. You come to me after the service, and I'm more than happy to hear that from you. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to look in Jonah chapter 2, and I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. And then I want to key on a word, and I want to talk about a place called Sheol. It's a very important place. As a matter of fact, there's people still there today. You say, wait a minute. Ho. They're not there, are they? Yeah, they are. It's a very important place. You see, the only people that have moved from their holding cell are those that are saved. Those unbelievers have not moved from their holding cell. They will be delivered up one day. We'll read about that in Revelation 20 before I close this message tonight. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And I'm glad that God hears us in the times of our affliction, aren't you? I could preach a message on that, and I started to. I'm glad that God hears us in the times of our affliction. Sometimes that's the only time we cry, is when we get into desperate situations, crisis situations. It's the only time that we cry out to the Lord. Other times we think, well, I've got this, I can handle this. But when we get into a situation very similar to Jonah's, well, we cry out to the Lord. And listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying don't let that be the only time that you do. Then it says this. It says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless your word. You know what you've laid on my heart, and I pray you'd help us to open our minds to your word and help us to ponder and consider that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Speak to our hearts from your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So I want to focus on this word hail in verse number 2. Now, I personally believe, and I'm not asking you to believe it, you do your own study. I believe that when Jonah, I think Jonah prayed twice here. I think he prayed out of the fish's belly, and then I think he died, and then I think he prayed in this place called hell. And you say, well, wait a minute, I thought Jonah was a prophet. I thought Jonah was a child of God, and why would he be in this place called hell? Well, because this place called hell here is the same place that Jesus spoke of in Luke 16, and we'll be turning there in just a moment, and there was people who were believers in that place too. You go, oh, wait a minute, that's impossible. Believers in hell? Now, wait a minute, just slow down. Let's just study the scripture here for a moment, okay? So I want you to look at that again in the latter part of verse number 2. Out of the belly of hell cried I. There is a book that you can get that I highly recommend if you don't have one. It's called a Strong's Concordance. Now, what a concordance does is it takes every word in the Bible and it gives you their origin. It kind of gives you what the meaning is, and it kind of helps you to understand the Hebrew or the English word that's in the Hebrew for the Old Testament, and then the English word for the Greek word in the New Testament, okay? And so I started to go to that, and I said, I don't think I'm going to do that, but I would encourage you. If you do not have one of these, I would strongly encourage you to get one, okay? You say, well, I have an English Bible. What else do I need? Well, you know what? The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, I have full confidence in my Bible. I don't need anything else but my Bible to commune with God. That's all I need. However, there are some things, because it's not because God's word is weak, it's because our language is weak, that concordance helps us sometimes. Okay? And so I want to make that statement one more time, unless someone leaves here and says, well, the preacher said the word of God was weak. You've never heard this preacher say that. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's nothing more powerful in all of heaven and earth than the word of God. There is absolutely no error in the word of God. So I'm not saying the Bible's weak. I'm saying that our language is weak. And so when God wrote the original, he did not write it in English. He wrote it in Hebrew, which is a very strong language, Chaldean, strong language. Aramaic, and he also wrote it in the Greek, which is a very strong language. The English language is not that strong. And so, therefore, it helps to kind of get some idea about some things because of the limited tongue that we have. Okay? So, you see that word, out of the belly of hell cried I. Well, if we're to take that literally, I do, then if you're not careful, you would think, well, wait a minute, hell, isn't that a place where people that are not saved, isn't that a place where people that don't believe go? Well, it is. But the word there is Sheol. It's not a bad translation. Sheol is a place, when you look in your Strong's Concordance, this word, the Old Testament word is Sheol. The New Testament, or the Greek word, is Hades, all right? And so these words were holding cells. This is what these are. They're compartments. This place is holding cells for the departing dead. The souls of the departing dead go to this place to be held there. And so we have a good look into this place in Luke 16. I want you to just keep this in your mind now, okay? In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah said, I was in this place. He said, I cried. I prayed to God out of here. Now, many people say, well, that's metaphor. He's just saying that, you know, metaphorically, you know, this is like hell to me. Well, I don't accept that because the word is Sheol, number one, and because of the use of belly, and I'm not going to get into that. It's a hollow place. But because every time this word is used in the Old Testament, the word Sheol, it is always referring to the holding place of the departing spirits of the dead. And so I want you to go to Luke chapter number 16. In Luke 16, we have a conversation. And in this conversation, we find out a lot of things that happen to people when they die. I think a lot of people have a lot of questions about what happens when we die. And because some people say, well, you know, that's not important. I think it's very important for people to know what happens when you die. Amen. I think it's really important that people understand when you die, there's consequences for the way you live. And so in Luke 16, Jesus gives this account. Now, I didn't say parable, I said account. He gives this account. This is not a parable. And he gives this account of these two men who were living, just like you're living, I'm living here today, these men were living. And one of them lived a certain way, and another lived another way. One of them was kind of a man, poverty-stricken, didn't have a whole lot in life. And I'm not saying you have to be poverty-stricken, not have a whole lot in life, in order to go to this place where this man went. His name was Lazarus. And then one man was rich. And I'm not saying if you're rich, you go to the place where this rich man went. I'm just saying that when Jesus gave this story, and I'm going to read it in your hearing, beginning in verse number 19, and I know it's going to take a little time, but I want you to get some of the things that happen here. Because if you ever really wanted to know what's going to happen when you die, you're going to get some answers right here. There's a lot of answers about what happens to people when they die right here in Luke 16. So let's read it, okay? And I want to just take my time. If we don't get through but nothing but this, that's okay. Because there's a lot of good information that you need to know and that I need to know about what happens when a person dies. You know, there's a lot of people that would say, well, you know, when a person dies, it's over. They call that secession. You just cease to be. That's secession. You just cease to be. It's over. It's done. It's annihilation. It's, you know, that's about the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard in my life. That's nonsense. You don't cease when you die. Well, if we just died and it was over, there would be no reason for consequences even in life for doing wrong. The laws of nature, God has set up things to where there are consequences for decisions we make, for actions we take. There's consequences. Not only that, the Word of God, which is always right, says that when we die, there's after that. Listen to Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, after this, okay, the judgment. Why would you judge people that are going to be asleep all the time? There are some people who say, well, you know, you enter into soul sleep. Why would you judge a person who's asleep? It's nonsense. That's nonsense. You're going to be alive. You're going to be conscious. I want you to notice this about this. You're going to have a memory. You're going to know people's names. You're going to have a sense of reason. You're going to be able to communicate with people. You're going to remember some things that happened while you were here. You say, oh no, I don't believe that. Well, let's read it and see. God doesn't lie. Let's look at it. There was a certain rich man, verse 19, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. See, if we're not careful, when we read this account, we'll just get so caught up on these things. I don't think that's why Jesus told us these things. We get so caught up on the lifestyles of the two men that we forget what happens when they die. Now, I want you to notice some of the wording that is used here. Look at verse number 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, I think that there's some things in there that we could talk about, but I don't want to. Because I'm interested in what happens when these men die. We're talking about what's going to happen when you die. You see, I don't want to talk about you could be like the rich man when you're alive, or you could be like the man Lazarus when you're alive. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what happens when you die. Look, if you would, in verse 21 or 22. It came to pass that the beggar died. Okay, now what's going to happen? What happens when you die? Well, one man, when he dies, notice what the Bible says. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Very interesting. There's no mention of what happens to his body. It's almost like Jesus said, I want you to pay attention to what happens to this man's soul when he died. Okay? I don't even know that the man had a burial. It's not even mentioned. Maybe he was too poor for one. I know folks like that. Maybe you do. That doesn't make him a bad person. I can't say why they didn't. It's just I know this man obviously either didn't have a burial, was just something of no consequence that really wasn't a big deal. And Jesus said, listen, I don't want you to, that's not what matters. What I want you to focus in is on this. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, where is this? The word bosom means a resting place. You know where a mother puts a child when that child is kind of fussy or feels a little antsy? She holds that child close to her bosom so that child can feel her rhythm and her heartbeat and can feel her affection and her love, and that child can have comfort and rest. And so Abraham's bosom, as we'll see here in just a moment, is a place that God, that Jesus in this story wants to tell us about, where things happen to people who go there. And we're going to see what happens to people who go there. All right? And Jesus is telling this story while he's alive. So he has not gone to the cross. The final payment for sin, the blood of Jesus has not been shed. And so all the people that are living that trust God and by faith have accepted God's way by grace are going to this place. All right? And so that's where this man went. Now, the Bible goes on to say that the rich man also died. You know what? He was buried. So it appeared that this man put a lot of emphasis on life and death, but not eternity. It appears that Lazarus put a lot of emphasis on eternity, but maybe not as much on life and death. I don't know that. I said it appears that way by the way Jesus kind of prioritized in his statements here. He said, you know, Lazarus died, didn't say a whole lot about his life other than he just didn't, hey, things wasn't going well for him, obviously. And then he died and it was over, but things are getting ready to change dramatically for both of these men. Did you know that when you die, things are going to change dramatically for you? And I want you to listen to me now. Things are going to change dramatically when you die. You say, well, I don't care. Well, you need to start caring. Now, I want you to hear me now. You say, well, I'm young. Well, you don't have to be old to die. Now, I hope you live a long, healthy life. I truly do. I do. And God knows I mean that. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. And I hope you stay healthy all the days of your life. But you don't have to be sick to die. Not only do you not have to be old to die, you don't even have to be sick to die. I read just this week where a 40-year-old NFL athlete that played for the Baltimore Ravens scored 3 touchdowns in a Super Bowl that they were in, and he passed away. 40 years old. A picture of health. Are you listening to me? Gone. Just that quick. This happened to him, what I'm reading to you. Going through life, seemingly not a care in the world, gone. In eternity. And things changed drastically. The Bible says it's a rich man died. He was buried. Look at verse number 23. And in, what's that next word there? Do you remember Jonah 2:2? That's our word. That's our word. Except for it's been in the New Testament, it's Hades. When you take this book and look up the word hell in Jonah and go to the Hebrew, it's Sheol. You know what it is? It's the departing place of the souls of those that die. You know where Hades is? This word right here? You know what that word is? Hades? You know what it means? It's the exact same definition. It is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Sheol. They're the same place. So when Jonah said out of the belly of that place, this is this place. They're the same place. You understand that? Look them up. It's in this book. The same three-letter word. Jonah prayed it. Out of hell. Here it is. When this man died, he went to hell. Now let's see what happens here. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. But now wait a minute. You say, I thought only bad people, wicked people went to this place. Well, they do, but now listen to me. This is a holding cell before Jesus went to the cross. Because I want you to notice what happens here. Something really unusual happens. It's rarely talked about here. Both of these people, when they died, one of them went to Abraham's bosom. And that is an indicator that he trusted God, that God was going to send a sacrifice for sin, that he believed in God, and so he went to Abraham's bosom. One of them did not. Because if you'll notice, the scripture says that it came to pass when he died that he lifted up his eyes, he was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Now that doesn't sound like Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a place of rest and solace, of comfort. As a matter of fact, we're going to see here in just a moment where Jesus said, this man is comforted, while the other man was not. He was in torment. But yet, you mean they were in the same place? Well, let's see. They were in the general vicinity, but there's two compartments that was divided by a gulf or a chasm. Let's see what the scripture says. You say, well, now I don't know if I want to believe that or not. Well, I believe what this book says. And let's just see what the book says. Now, the book says this. It says in verse number 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Doesn't sound like two worlds to me. Sounds like one world with two compartments. He saw Abraham afar off, but that's not all. He saw Abraham afar off, and there was old Lazarus in his bosom. Are you catching what's happening here? This place was in the two compartments was in a general location of the same place. So let's see what happens now. The Bible says in verse number 24 that he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Oh man, you mean he expected Father Abraham to hear him? Were they so close in this general place that one man went to be comforted and one man went to be tormented? Were they so close that they could have conversation? Yes. Which opens up a whole new thing. Do you believe that people that are dead can communicate with one another? I do. Because they did. Are these people dead? Come on, brethren. Yes, they're dead. Did the Bible say that Lazarus died? Look at it. The Bible says that Lazarus died in verse number 22 and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Lazarus is dead. But he's talking. Who's he talking to? Well, he's not talking to grandma. We're going to get to that in a minute. The dead, listen, don't talk to the living. And the living can't talk to the dead. We'll see that here in just a moment. So quit trying to find them. Quit seeking a sign. Just send a puff of wind so I'll know that you're still thinking about me, Grandma. Listen, I'm not being mean to you, but stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. In the underworld, in the afterlife, there's communication, but not between the two, not here and there. As a matter of fact, when you see that requested, it's cut off. Notice what the scripture says. The Bible says here, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham in verse 23. He said, he seen Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. And brethren, I just wished that I could read this the way I think it really, really was said. I think if we could somehow have somebody that could replay the way what I'm getting ready to read to you was said, it would send chills up our spine. It would cause us, it would change our life. It would change our life. Do you know what William Booth said? Listen, William Booth founded the Salvation Army. He said, you give me, and I think it was 50 men, it might have been 100. He said, you give me 50 men and God let me take them to the doorstep of hell and we'll convert the world. Right? See, a lot of us say we believe in hell, but I'm beginning to wonder if we really do. Because there's people passing us every day that's headed there, and it just doesn't seem to bother us much anymore. There was a time when people going to hell bothered people in the church. I mean, it really bothered people who were saved. Because we knew we were delivered from it, and we were not going there, and we were praising God that we were rescued from there. But brethren, people that are not saved are going to a real place of torment. And this man was in a real place of torment. And the Bible says that he cried in verse number 24, that he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Can you see it? Can you hear it? But look at verse 25. But Abraham said, "Son," now wait a minute. "You mean that you got a man in hell and a man in Abraham's bosom and they're communicating and they can hear one another?" That's what the Bible says. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? That's what the Bible says. "You mean that people that are dead and in the afterlife can talk and have conversation?" I'm telling you what the Bible says. You say, "Well, it's not that way anymore." Well, let's just keep reading. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You've got to set aside, listen to me, you've got to set aside your natural thinking now. Your natural mind can't take this. Your natural mind don't know where to go when you start talking about supernatural things. Is that right? Yeah. I want you to see what happens to people when they die. Not what some psychic says, not what some flimsy preacher says, but what the Word of God says. The Word of God says when this man died, one of them went to Abraham's bosom, and we're going to see what happened to him. One of them went to hell, and he was in torments in the flame, and he was suffering. And he was begging for help. Now, I'm here to tell you, when you leave this world, your life is going to change dramatically. And so don't you think, "Oh, no, no, that's not the way it is." Yes, the way it is, not because the preacher says so, but because the Bible says so. Let's look on. But Abraham said, watch it now, son. Look at that next word. Remember. Remember. You mean in the afterlife you're going to remember some things that happened in life? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. This is Jesus saying this. Jesus is saying, "Hey, I want you to recall some things that happened in your lifetime." Let's read it now. "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things." What am I being taught here? I'm being taught that in the afterlife, I'm going to have a recollection of some things that happened in life. Is that right, brethren? Come on now. I'm just telling you what the Word says. So, if someone you love has passed on, does that mean that they have a recollection of some things that go on in this life? Well, according to this, they do. How much? I don't know. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said, "I want you to remember." You say, "Well, things have changed." Well, I want you to come to me after the service and tell me when that happened. "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented." So there's these two compartments. And these people that have departed this life are now in that life. All right? This is why Jesus was alive, and this is under the old economy or the Old Testament. And so here they are, and they're in these compartments. And now the Bible says this. And besides this, in verse 26, besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf. That word gulf means chasm, and it's fixed. You're not getting out, he said. Let's read on. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, you know, he said, you're not going to get any help. And listen, I don't think he was saying it like, you know, in a condescending way. I think he was really saying it like, "Hey, I've got some bad news for you. Your condition's not going to get any better." As a matter of fact, as we shall see, it's going to get worse. Worse than this? A man screaming, I'm tormented in the flames, and Lazarus, a tip of water on my tongue? Yes, it's going to get worse. Because I want you to think about this. It appears that they just got there. But then in verse number 25, he said, you've got a long time to think about some things, my friend. And I want you to remember. Could you imagine what it would be like to be in a place knowing, you know what, I was almost ready. I was almost persuaded. I think about old King Agrippa. You know, Paul, almost thou persuadest me. You know? I can even think back on my own life. There was one time that I almost made the move. And the devil, I mean, I'm not even going to go into it, but he got involved and I didn't do it. And thank God that later I did do it. But there was that one time that I was almost going to trust God and trust Christ as my Savior, and I didn't do it. Thank God I didn't die between that time and the time I accepted Christ as my Savior. Thank God I didn't die. God had mercy on me. And I bless His holy name for that. Could you imagine those in hell that had sit in a church service, those in hell that had someone witness, those in hell that read their Bible, those in hell that was spoken to time and time again, and here they are hearing, son, remember, 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 over and over again. I think the torment of memory would be greater than the torment of the flame. Now, that's just me. Now, if we read on down, if you would, look at verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Not only remember, but remorse. You know, man, I could have done more. I was a fool. So I want you to send him. So not only does he have a recollection of some things, now listen to me, that went on in his life, according to verse 25. I'm being honest. Listen, I'm being transparent and honest with the Scripture here. I'm just telling you what it says. But in verse number 27, he also understands some things that are going on earth, even at that moment. He said, I've got some family back on earth, and I want you to send someone to them. Is that what he said? I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send Lazarus to my father. He said, you know, perhaps, you know, we were there and came here, so perhaps we can from here go there. And he told him, I'm sorry again, but there's no help. That's not going to happen. But I'm taken by the fact that there's memory. I'm taken by the fact that then you realize what should have been done. You know, I think sometimes we think when people die in their sin and they go to this place that they're just there, you know, just balling up their fists and saying, I'll never repent, I'll never. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, everybody that I can see now, and there's not many instances, but this one is really a glaring incident. He said, well, I wish I had it to do over again. I wished I had it to do over again. As a matter of fact, I don't want my family to come here. You know? These people saying, well, you know, we're going to go to hell. We'll just be together. And hey, I don't want my family to come here. Doesn't sound like that kind of deal. Sounds like Satan sold somebody a bill of lies. Don't want them to come here. As a matter of fact, would you please send someone to tell them, I don't want them to come here. If I never see them again, I don't want them to come here. Send them to my father's house that they may tell my brethren, my five brethren there in verse number 28, I'm sorry. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They were dead. He just said, we're dead. Did they know they were dead? Do you know you're dead when you're dead? You ever heard somebody ask that question? I read an article a couple of weeks ago, and it says, when you die, do you know you're dead? And I wish you could have, I started to just bring some of the things that people were saying. It's sad, brethren. And it's because we've just got away from reading the Bible. The Bible's not a well-read book any longer. If we just read the Word of God, these people are dead. and they know they're dead. Do you know you're dead when you're dead? Absolutely, you know you're dead when you're dead. Because you're still you. And you still have reason. You still can communicate. You can touch. You can feel. He felt the flame. He wanted the finger of Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. He could feel. He could hear. He could talk. He could reason. He could communicate. He knew he was dead. Do you know you're dead when you're dead? Yes. Can you communicate with others when you're dead? Yes. Will you know people in the afterlife? Yes. Will you know some things that went on in this life, in the afterlife? Yes. Is that what this is teaching? You say, but it's all changed. Well, my time won't allow me, but we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. I do want to show you something before we move on from this. All right? So, here we have this account. And this man went to this place. So what happens when people die? What happened? Well, I want you to hold your place. I'm going to give you one truth and then I'll be through. Okay? If you'll be patient with me, okay? I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And you know where I'm going. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, something happened. Okay? Something happened. Now, here the Apostle Paul, and if you read sometimes, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I'm just going to tell you, and you can read it sometime. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul appears to be talking about himself, and he said, you know what? He said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, and he said, whether in the body or not, he said, I can't tell. He said, you know what? He was called up into the third heaven, right? And so he called it paradise. He was called up. The paradise of God was moved. All right? Remember what Jesus told that thief on the cross? What did he tell him? Today thou shalt be with me where? Where did Jesus go when he died? Come on, somebody tell me. Paradise. He just said it. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Is that what he said? That's what he said. That's what he said. So I thought he went to heaven. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about it. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So, if I die before I leave this building tonight, and it could happen. Okay, it could. You say, oh, you're just saying that. I'm just saying it because it's so. And so could you die before you leave this building? We don't know. We're not. You say, well, we're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised the next minute. Okay? None of us are. And so if I leave, I know. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. When I leave this body, listen, this old body is going to drop down or wherever it goes when I leave it. Amen? And I'm out of here. I'm out of here. My body's going to one place, but my soul, now listen to me, is going to be with the Lord. Look at it one more time in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, how are you going to be absent from the body? When you die, your soul is going to leave your body. And if you're saved, you're going to be with the Lord. But that's not where Abraham went. That's not where Lazarus went. That doesn't appear to be where Jonah went. What happened? What happened? Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. And now the paradise of God, that Abraham's bosom, is in the third heaven. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe that would fall in my heart. The word paradise, it's very interesting what it means. It means comfortable place. It means the same thing as Abraham's bosom means. It means garden of God or place of comfort and solace. So, I got one more scripture, then I'm going to be through tonight. So I want you to turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 20. And we're going to get into this. This is just a little bit of a foundation. What happens when you die? Well, did you know that when Jesus died on the cross, that the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 says that before he ascended, listen to me now, he descended. And he descended into a very unusual place, the lower parts of the earth. I think that's very interesting. Especially when you read the book of Jonah and it talks about the bottoms of the mountains. It's just really interesting. Very interesting. And we'll talk more about that as we get into this study on the word Sheol and Hades. Now, that part, that compartment that we read about in Luke 16, where those that believe were in Abraham's bosom, it was moved. And now when people, if you are saved, if you're a believer, now when you die, you go right into the presence of God. Now, you couldn't do that before Calvary. And we'll talk about that some next week. There was a reason for that. We take sin way too lightly. I want to tell you something now, brethren. Listen, God has really spoke to my heart. God doesn't take sin lightly. He takes sin so serious that before Jesus paid the price, not a price, the price for sin, to meet the full penalty of sin, man could not go into the presence of God. He went to Sheol. But then it got moved after the resurrection of Christ. And we'll show that from the scripture, all right? Now, what happened to Hades? What happened to that side? You say, well, when people die now, they go straight to hell, preacher, if they're not saved. Well, they go to the same place that the rich man went to. I want you to look in Revelation 20. You're there, and we're going to do this, and then we'll close. Look in Revelation 20. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Revelation 20, verse 13, this will be our final thought. And I hope you'll chew on this a little bit. Come back next week and we'll study it some more. Verse 13, Revelation 20 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Now there's our word. That's our word. Hades. That's our word. The Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Sheol. That's our holding place. It's still there. All the way through to the book of the Revelation, it's still there. As a matter of fact, there's a place in Isaiah that says that hell hath enlarged herself. I don't know. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, that's our place, were cast, now here it is, into the lake of fire. Now this is a whole other discussion, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I've had people ask me all this about all of my public ministry. You know, where is hell? Well, hell is not a hard question to answer at all. It's not. I believe that hell is in the heart of the earth, and we'll see that from Numbers chapter 16 when Korah and his crowd, you know, I mean, God opened up the earth and it just licked them up and fire came out and it just swallowed them up. That's where hell's at. But where is the lake of fire? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Could be on another planet. I don't know. I don't know where the lake of fire is. But I know this, you don't want to go there. I do know that. I want you to stand if you would. You say, well, preacher, this is not very interesting to me. Well, I just wanted you to know, if you don't get anything else out of it, I just want you to know this. I just want you to know that when you leave this life, you're going somewhere. Don't think that it's all over. You're going somewhere. And you get to determine where you go. You do. I'm glad God gave us a choice, aren't you? And there's only two places to go. You're either going to, when you die, you're either going to go to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And the only way you're going to go to the Lord, to heaven, is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior through the forgiveness of sin. It's the only way. You say, well, I'm going to do my best to be a good person. You're not going to go be with Jesus that way. It's not going to happen. You must admit you're not good enough, that only Jesus can pay for the penalty of your sin, and you must trust his death, burial, and resurrection for the penalty of your sin. If you'll do that and you'll trust him, the Bible says you can be saved. Now, if you choose not to, then you're making a choice to die in your sin, and you will go to hell, the place that we read about tonight. And that rich man is still there. I just want you to know now. He's still there. You say, well, I see him. I wouldn't be concerned about that. But he's still there, waiting for the day when death and hell shall be delivered up and cast into the lake of fire. It's a terrible thing. God help me to know this is real. This is real. Father, I pray that you would open our understanding to your word, and I pray that we would get concerned not only about where others are going when they leave this life, but where we are going. God, help us to live our lives that others may see that we're living our lives in preparation to where we're going to go when we leave this world. God, I pray that you would ever keep the thought that many people around us are going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. And so help us to have compassion that would make a difference in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.